Law Matters is paid for by Law Matters Nonprofit Organization. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
National media continues to promote negative headlines intentionally designed to diminish the rule of law and those whose job it is to enforce it. We want you to hear from the source rather than a misleading soundbite. To keep this conversation going, support us on the lawmatters1030.org website. It's time we listened to and said thank you to those who spend their lives protecting us. Now let's start the show. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I have a few announcements before we get started. We're looking for a team for the El Detour Tucson bike ride. So if you're interested in riding a bike and supporting Law Matters, give me a call. We'd like to put a team together and see what we can do. Tear up Tucson. Okay, also, we're looking for board members, people who are interested in helping to support what we do. If you're interested, send me an email. Our website is lawmatters1030.org. Okay, in the studio, we have Teresa, and Teresa lost her son recently to fentanyl. On the phone, we have Josephine, who lost her daughter. She's calling in from Prescott. And we also have DEA ASAC, Polo Ruiz, who is going to keep us all honest and straight. So, Teresa, I'd like to start with you. Tell us what happened with your son, because you showed me some pictures. He's a good-looking young man. He looked very healthy and happy.
Thank you.
What happened?
So my son, Jacob, he was 31 years old, and on May 30th of 2020, he had used cocaine that had fentanyl in it. And drove up to see about 8 paramedics trying to revive him. He had been dabbling with cocaine, and I'm pretty certain that he had no idea that fentanyl was in the cocaine that he was using, as do most people, right? They don't know what they're getting when they're using drugs most of the time. So I lost my only son. Actually, 30 days after my mom passed, I lost my son.
Oh, wow.
So I had a double whammy with 2 deaths within 30 days.
That's really, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was hard.
Josephine, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. Josephine, I'm sorry for your loss. Tell me what happened with your daughter. What was the circumstances?
Ashley was 26 years old, and I'm sorry, I get super emotional every time I talk about it, so I'm going to try to keep it together. On May 26th of 2021, my daughter used half of a tablet that she believed was Percocet. Ashley had some untreated mental health issues. She self-medicated with marijuana routinely, daily. She abused alcohol daily. But as far as pills and fentanyl, never, that I know of, but, you know, moms never know, truly. She used half a tablet of fentanyl. She was without oxygen for 33 minutes before paramedics arrived and subsequently died 3 days later because my husband and I had to disconnect her life support, which was the absolute hardest decision that myself and Mitch ever have had to make. And still grieve and deal with every single day. So not only do we grieve her loss, but we grieve a decision that we made out of love. It's extremely painful, and that was over 2 years ago. So
yeah, I don't know how you get over that, if ever.
You don't get over it. You get through it, or at least you try every single day. I'm actually driving in my vehicle.
I thought you were. I could tell you were driving.
From grief counseling. I went to grief counseling that started at 7 this morning. So I finished up, got in my vehicle, and called in. So it's excruciating. You know, just to get through every single day is excruciating. So
when you go to grief counseling, and Teresa, have you been to grief counseling?
No, I haven't.
So how do you cope? Because I'm just really curious how this works.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Therese.
No, for me, I've dealt with a lot of loss. I lost my husband in 2009 to a heart attack. And so that was a really hard loss for me. And for me, right now, with Jacob's loss, which is a huge one, when you lose a child, it's the worst loss you can ever imagine. So what keeps me together, I believe, is doing the advocating and the bringing awareness about this drug. And I think with that, it keeps me, my brain occupied. There are times I'm in my car and I just start crying, or I talk about Jake in a certain, you know, certain
something reminds you.
Yeah, if I remember something, and then I just start crying. His birthday is going to be next week, the 18th, and that's going to be hard when I go to his grave. So, you know, it's those instances, you know, I want to ride in the El Tour for him, you know, and so it's the memories that get you. And, you know, I tear up right now as I'm talking about it. But what's helping me is just bringing awareness about this drug, because I want to try and save as many people as I can, or just bring the, you know, let them know if they want to use the drug after that, then it's on you. But if I can tell someone, a parent or child, what happened to my son, that brings me peace and it helps me get through this. And I think that's a good grief counseling for me personally. But each person has their way of coping.
Their own way. The person who gave your son the drugs, were they arrested?
No, we never found out who did it. I know they took his phone, but he had an iPhone, and it's really hard to get in. But apparently, the TPD they can get in somehow. But they never found. I believe I know who it was, and I always say God will take care of him. You know, we won't get justice in this world, but God will get the justice that we did not get.
Josephine, did they find out who gave your daughter the drugs?
Oh yes. When Ashley had been poisoned, and at the emergency room, her boyfriend actually brought us her telephone, which was not locked. We were able to trace the entire conversation back to where the drugs were purchased, how much they were paid for, and by whom. And actually the delivery method. This drug dealer was so emboldened. She drove over 50 miles to meet her from Glendale, Arizona. I live in Prescott. So this drug dealer lived in Glendale, Arizona, because I live in Yavapai County, and at that time it was very difficult to find pills. We have something here called Mat Force, and we have something here called PANT, which is Prescott Area Narcotics Task Force. So they're very, very good about controlling the drugs. I'm not saying we don't have a drug problem in my community. We do, but it's much more, the punishments are much more severe here. This person drove from Glendale, met my daughter in Black Canyon City. Within 24 hours of Ashley's poisoning, PANT, Prescott Area Narcotics Task Force, got a search warrant for Ashley's phone. They had possession of her phone. And within 24 hours of that, that woman was in custody. That woman is in custody today.
Good.
And she refuses to take a plea deal. So we're going to be going to trial in February of 2024, even though Ashley died in May of 2021. And she will not, unfortunately, be charged with manslaughter or be charged with any murder charges.
Why?
In her participation. Because there is no law in the state of Arizona. That is something that, when you talked about coping skills, that's something that my husband and I are working on as far as getting legislation passed. That's my passion. We are fighting desperately, mm-hmm. my husband and I, in Ashley's honor. The law mm-hmm. actually dropped by our legislator in my district. His name is Huang Nguyen. He dropped a law that twice now, two legislative sessions, named after her. It's called the Ashley Dunn Act, and it is for drug-induced homicide prosecution. So if you sell a drug that ultimately takes someone's life, you will be charged with homicide. And unfortunately, we can't get it passed through legislation. That's actually how Teresa and I met, is fighting, both of us fighting, not only for education and prevention and rehabilitation, but also for legislation, because when you take someone's life, you take someone's life, and you need to be charged for that. And so at this time, there is no law on the books. There is a manslaughter law, but that doesn't apply in my daughter's case. Yeah. And it doesn't apply in many cases. So sadly, in Teresa's case, that person has not been caught that sold Jacob drugs. In my case, she's been caught, and she's sitting in Camp Verde jail. But she won't ultimately be charged for that. The one good thing is her criminal history is against her. She has 14 felony counts of drug dealing and drug distribution in the state of Arizona.
And they keep letting her out?
They keep letting her out. She gets convicted. She gets charged. She pleads, whatever. She does a short stint in jail. And then she's back on the street to kill people, like my daughter. This time, when she was arrested, she was out on bond back in May of 2021. She absconded for 13 months. But then there was a warrant issued for her arrest by a Yavapai County judge. And she was picked up, and she has not, by PANT, again, Prescott Area Narcotics Task Force, actually did a sting operation and got her in Phoenix. They went from Prescott to Phoenix, got her, and she's been in custody since June 16th of 2022. And she will not get out until court, until something happens with the court. And
she be looking at for sentencing?
Well,
maximum in our county, according to the county prosecutor, with all of the charges against her at this time, is 37 and a half years is the maximum time she could get. But there are other charges in addition to what happened to Ashley. So
37 and a half years, would they take that and add it to the other charges and just keep adding years? Or is it like one sentence and, 3 weeks and you're out? Yes.
It depends on what the judge's assessment on during that time, and actually with pretrial, the pretrial officer, when they start looking at the file, if they see the individual had long past drug history, criminal history, then they will add it on. But sometimes they will just do it as a matter of, okay, we'll just hit the 37 years. But then sometimes what happens on the state side is that they get off of what's called good time, where they're able to cut that in half, and from the 37 it goes into the half, and then from there sometimes they get some other concessions where they're able to say, okay, I plead guilty, and from that point they drop it a little more. On the federal side, you get the mandatory time where you don't get any type. So when we come in on the federal side, we'll coordinate with the U.S. Attorney's Office. When you're given that, you're gonna serve 20 years. You're gonna get the whole 20 years, not half for a good time.
So, would this have been better to prosecute them in the federal side or the county side?
It depends. It goes on a case by case basis. I mean, for instance, for DEA in Arizona, we have different teams set up here down here in Tucson and one up in Phoenix. Well, we're able to look and go to the U.S. Attorney's Office, for instance, here in Tucson, and there's actually a really great U.S. Attorney, Stephanie Hefford, and we go by case, and we go through the evidence, because it is a little bit difficult to, at times, when you're trying to prove that these individuals are, you got to go on the evidence, as the camera, video, if there's any video camera, the text messaging. And unfortunately, right now with our phones, we've gone dark where there's some stuff that we cannot get. But we will do the best we can in order for us to get the search warrant to get into the phone. Because a lot of times they're using Snapchat, they're using Facebook, they're using Instagram to communicate. And that's why for us, it's important for us to be here. Not only that, sending the message is to start looking at the stuff that our kids are doing.
Yes.
And who their friends are. But we also have a great relationship with the Arizona Attorney General's office, so we can go either one, and whichever one we feel that we're going to be able to get the hammer on and a lot more flexibility with the judges, then we'll go with that one. There's at times on the district doing the federal side, they require more things, so sometimes it doesn't pass that level of where we should try to get more of a hammer. So that's why we end up going to the state or local side.
That makes sense.
Yes, it's, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to commend you, Josephine, for not just sitting back, for actually being proactive and trying to get these laws changed.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's huge. And it's obviously needed. So what's our law here? I mean, this is, what do you do here in Pima County?
Well, here, for instance, here we work with the U.S. Attorney's Office and also with the Arizona Attorney General's Office, and depending on it, with the Pima County attorney. And we sit down in a working table, and we talk about all these different things that we're doing together. And we determine, okay, where are the evidences? What can we do? And we trace back to the actual moment of where we're trying to see, okay, who actually gave that pill? We had a situation that occurred here in northern Arizona where there was an individual of, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, there was a, in San Diego area, there was a, the son, he was in the Navy. He came up to see the father, the biological father in Phoenix. From there, unbeknownst to us, he got picked up some pills, and he went up to northern Arizona and Flagstaff area, and he overdosed. He got a pack of six. So, of course, we started going back and started working with the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. And in Phoenix, we were trying to go to the video cam coverage and anything that we can get our hands in, but unfortunately, we couldn't go there. We did, but there was no, the video footage that it had wasn't being recording. So there are so many things that come into play. But we will go after those individuals who are giving the lethal dose to our children. And so there's nobody that's going to walk away with this. Even though, like, for instance, in my organization, we go after the cartel organizations that are causing havoc on our streets, not only internationally, but over here in domestic. That's why we worked together with our local partners. So here with Chief Kazmar and also with Mr. Nanos from the Sheriff's Department here, we actually have task forces set up within in my office and other offices where we talk about these specific cases and what we can do. And we have Operation Overdrive that we just culminated last year.
Yeah.
And yes, and that was to help out here in the city of Tucson, but not only the city of Tucson, but also Oro Valley, with Miss Riley, Chief Riley up there, and then down in Marana. And because a lot of times a trafficker, when they're selling their drugs, they don't know the boundaries, you know, and they'll cross over to one city to another city, and what they feel maybe it's the police is on them on, for instance, on Oracle and Grant, for instance. Then they'll go to another area where they think that the police is not around.
Yeah.
So that's why we work a lot together. And that's the beauty of here being in Arizona, and specifically Southern Arizona, because we all know, we call each other on the phone and we talk about, hey, what can we do? We have weekly meetings once a week, and then we talk about all these different these things that come to. And now with the fentanyl epidemic, it's even more apparent that there's a necessity to also work with the attorneys.
What about the candy? They're making this stuff look like candy and actually packaged, sealed packages. And this is scary because, you know, Halloween's coming.
Yes.
What do you do with that? How do you follow that?
Well, if people think, well, why would they do that if they're killing off their customers? And they don't care. All they care is about making that money. So what they're doing is they're trying to make it, it used to be they still make the fake blues, the fake oxys to make it. But now with the multicolor, with the rainbow color, it's enticing these younger kids from high school, even before high school. They're going after these individuals, and they'll give it to them. But they don't know what's exactly in there. So they're trying to bring in the lethal, a lot of times just entice them. It looks like sweet tarts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take one, nothing happened. And after that, then what happens is then the next one and next one, but then it could be that next following pill that kills them. Then that's why we also had kicked off the one pill can't kill, because that one pill, that one time can kill you.
And people don't know where this stuff is coming from.
They don't.
Don't even take, you know, college is starting. Don't even take a pill from your roommate.
No.
You tell them you have a headache. Don't worry about it. Don't take a pill. Go to the store and buy your own from the store, not somebody's midnight trunk sale.
Yeah. And Sherry, and the thing is it's exploded, because talking about going back a mile, 4 years, we weren't even talking about fentanyl. We were talking about methamphetamine. We were talking about heroin, of course, and cocaine.
Yeah.
But 4 years ago, we were not talking about this. Right now, the DEA has seized over 26 million pills here in Arizona this calendar year.
Just in Arizona,
just in
folks.
Arizona. And overall, nationwide, it's almost 50, a little over 50 million. We're surpassing last year's, clearly by almost, we're going to double it, unfortunately. It's a good thing because we're hitting them, right? But it's just telling you that the market has pushed over to, they're pushing more of that stuff out there to get more people addicted. And a lot of people say, well, they can lower, but you don't know how much. It only takes... The equivalent to about 18 grains of salt is a lethal dose. That's 2 milligrams.
Wow. That's insane. That's insane. I know they're using young kids, little kids, who don't even have driver's licenses to drive illegals across the border and doing some really crazy thing. Are they doing the same thing with drugs? Are they asking these kids to transport drugs?
Most definitely. They look a lot more for U.S. citizens that are here in Tucson, Nogales, Sierra Vista, Douglas area that are able to cross over because they're a U.S. citizen and they're like in high school age. They'll stand, these drug dealers will be outside the high schools. And they'll start profiling these individuals and say, okay, hey, look, I can give you a couple $100 if you end up going across. And then from there, the person body carries it. There are many times they'll body carry it. They'll strap it onto their legs, to their body. And then from there, they'll bring them up here to the north and they'll give them a couple $100 for that. But they don't realize, they think, okay, well, you know what? You're a juvenile. Nothing's going to happen to you. The great thing here is that we actually coordinated with the, for instance, down in Santa Cruz County with Mr. Silva, that nobody gets by. And if you're, even as a juvenile, if you get caught with this stuff, we will go to the fullest measures to prosecute. You coordinate with the Santa Cruz County Attorney's Office to get you prosecuted, and also here in Pima County.
Yeah, they say, you know, oh, you're a juvenile. It'll be wiped off your record because they're not going to charge you as an adult. Well, guess what? You're committing an adult crime. You're going to get charged as an adult.
That is correct. And I've had many cases that has happened. And unfortunately, it's sometimes too where they get on Facebook, they get on Instagram, and these organizations, these cartels, and they go into there and they entice them. They say, you want to earn easy money? Here's a couple $100.
And to just drive.
Yes. And it's just for a 15, 16-year-old, $200-$300. It's like, oh, man, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
So, and it's just simply
to me too.
For them. Across.
Hello. So, it's crazy how they entice these kids and they don't tell them the whole story. They're just using them.
Yes.
And they end up in jail or they end up dead. This is not the road you want to go down. So, a parent, and I've got somebody in mind, a parent who has a son or a daughter who doesn't have a job but doesn't seem to run out of money, you have to be a little curious. Where are you getting your money? What are you doing?
Yes.
And, you know, they might not use drugs, but if they're selling them, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Even worse. So what type of signs... What clues, what red flags should parents be looking for with their child that doesn't necessarily use drugs, but, you know, seems to be very flush and can buy you appliances and all kinds of stuff?
Well, a lot of times, Sherry, on the law enforcement side, it's about, first of all, it's who you hang out with. It's the friends that you associate with. What we have found is that many times that the friends in the school and people that they're in connection now with the digital age with Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, it's finding out those friends and then talking to those parents. But a lot of times what we see is they start on their own, like you said earlier, as they start buying clothes on their own and they start hanging out and always on their phones.
Or maybe even have two phones.
Yes. I have two phones.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm a little suspicious.
Well, I have two. One is for work and one is for another thing. But, of course.
Yeah, it's the other thing we're worried about.
but a lot of times it goes into that. Just for, the main thing is the friends. And then from there, it goes into not only the friends in school, but also the other network of friends on the outside. And who are they talking to? And many times as parents, we get so wrapped up in our jobs and all these different things that we don't. And as they start getting older, the kids don't sometimes listen to us.
Yeah.
But I was just telling my son here that every day my mom used to come into our house, I mean, to my room. My brother and I, our room, and she used to do like a mini search warrant.
Yeah. What's going on in here?
And yeah. My brother and I would return. And it's like, Mom, she went through with that stuff. And then, you know, and then it's like, but there was a reason for it.
Yeah.
There's a reason for
She's trying to keep you safe.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah.
So many times it's checking out if you can as a parent. I know it seems somewhat... searching their stuff, it seems kind of out there, but going through their backpacks, going through their pockets, going through their stuff, and then finding out who that friend is. Mm-hmm. And if you can get involved in the school, somehow volunteer one day or another, finding out those parents of those individuals, because it could be that one wrong move. And you get an individual who's naive, and all of a sudden that person maybe has something, and it's, oh no, it's not, nothing's going to happen. Nothing happens. But it could be that next time something happens. And here, now you're dealing with fentanyl, mm-hmm. which fentanyl will kill you. I mean, it's not that these other drugs won't kill you, but fentanyl is...
It's lethal.
Yes, it's lethal. I mean, it's 70 times more potent than morphine. So, I mean, you're talking some really... And sometimes they do these mixtures with methamphetamine or with cocaine. And then xylazine, that's even more deadlier. And xylazine is it's a sedative that they use on animals. Fentanyl, they do script it. They meaning that at the hospital, if you have a gunshot wound or you have some an ailment that you need something to help you get through the day, they will prescribe it. But now with xylazine and the mixture of that. I mean, that's another.
Is this over the counter, or is this something that the cartel are mixing up?
No, this is something that has to be script. Fentanyl and xylazine have to be.
But it's the new thing that's coming out.
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this.
You got it.
I want to know about that second phone.
This is Nathan Chabon, producer for Law Matters. I have a goal to reach, and I need your help. I want to put the DEA out of business. That's right, the Drug Enforcement Agency. If you have an addiction problem or know someone who does, please reach out to lawmatters1030.org and click the DEA tab for more information. Reaching out is the first step. We have the resources if you have the will. You can beat this demon and help me put the Drug Enforcement Agency out of business.
Law Matters Live Show works hard at keeping you informed on current issues from all law enforcement agencies, including any changes in both the tax and mortgage loan rules. I host the show as a volunteer. My real job is working for a mortgage broker with over 20 resources in residential, commercial, jumbo, as well as a reverse mortgage company whose new rule is offering tax-free money to those 55 and older, qualifying for up to $4 million. If you want to learn more, call me after the show at 520-310-9900.
Saving lives means staying informed. Knowing the dangers of using counterfeit prescription pills can help those you care about and keep our community safe. As a parent, educator, neighbor, or friend, we all play a role in building safe and healthy futures for ourselves and our loved ones. Do your part. Take the first step today. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com to access education, prevention, and treatment resources. Counterfeit prescription pills laced with fentanyl are deadly. Be their protector. Be informed. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com.
This is Deputy Chuke with Pima County Search and Rescue, reminding you that infants and toddlers do not experience heat as adults do. Consider this when bringing your young ones on a hike in temperatures of over 80 degrees. You do not want to risk that child having heat stroke or being arrested for child endangerment. If you're thinking of a trek through nature, plan ahead, look ahead, and use your head. Your future depends on it. Save your phone's battery life so when you get lost, we may contact you. Wearing bright colors that can be seen from a distance helps the effort.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Josephine's on the phone from Prescott. Teresa's in studio, and we have DEAA Sec Polo here, and we've been talking about his second phone. But Josephine, I know you're active up there. Are you still with us?
I am. I'm right here.
Okay. How long does it take to get a law passed? What steps do you have to go through to make that happen?
Well, I am incredibly blessed. I'm biased, but I have the most amazing legislator in my district. Actually, the day after Ashley died, I called him. He drives from Prescott to the Capitol every day to work and drives back for $30,000 a year. So I'm just going to say that. High five. Thank you, Kwong. You work, he works day and night, and for minimum, it's not about money for him. So I just want to give him kudos. But I called him at 6 a.m. I hadn't slept all night after Ashley had died. I called him, and he was driving to Phoenix, and he spent 2 hours on the phone with me. I was hysterical about losing her. And what is he going to do about the fentanyl crisis? Because I did not know anything about fentanyl. And I'm a retired registered nurse. The only thing I know about fentanyl, or knew at that time, was it was given for pain as a prescription medication for, I mean, high levels of pain, cancer. It wasn't a recreational drug that I knew of. I mean, and why would I know something like that? But I spent 2 hours on the phone with him, talking to him, and basically begging him, you know, we need a law. We need these people to go to jail for murder.
Yes.
They're killing our kids. And this isn't a joke. This isn't selling pot or a joint in the high school bathroom. This is serious stuff. And if you know anything about fentanyl, it'll kill you. So if you're a drug dealer and you're selling it, you are peddling poison. You are dealing death for dollars, period. And the people are like, you know, there's the whole crying side of the aisle that says, oh, the dealer is just trying to support their habit. No, they're not. They're killing people. If you're selling fentanyl, you're a serial killer, and you should be held accountable, period. And so I spoke to him on the phone that morning at 6 a.m. Within a month, he had legislation drafted with my county attorney at the time. Her name is Sheila Polk. She had drafted this amazing legislation. It was dropped into, you know, into the pool of laws to be reviewed by the committees. And I testified for that the first year. That would be in 2022, January of 2022. And unfortunately, it made it unanimously out of the Judiciary Committee, but did not pass to move on to the Senate.
Why?
Because we have a county attorney. I'm just going to put her on blast. She is down in Tucson. Mm-hmm. Let's just put her on blast. What's mm-hmm. her name again? I think it's Laura
Conover.
Yeah, that's it. That's kind.
What happened?
Actually, to use her name. She is a disgrace. She believes that no laws are needed when our children die. She believes that manslaughter is enough. when your child dies, even when they know they're selling the drug. The manslaughter law does not apply in my daughter's case because she had alcohol in her system and she had marijuana in her system, both of which those quantities on her toxicology report would not have killed her. What killed her was 5 milligrams of fentanyl. That'll kill 2.5 people. We just heard the DEA tell you how much will kill you. She had five in her system, but we cannot prosecute for manslaughter because she smoked pot too. And there was pot in her system and some alcohol. So Laura Conover, that's what we call her because that's her birth name. She's a disgrace. And she stood there in front of Judiciary Committee saying, we don't need a law. We don't need laws to help our kids. We don't need to prosecute drug dealers because, you know, they're really just users trying to support their habit. And we're doing everything we can to get them the help they need. Well, my daughter's never going to get help. Jacob, Teresa's son, never going to get help. Never have the opportunity to be helped because they were murdered. They were poisoned. They were killed. They were deceived to death.
Deceived.
They were.
Yes. Deceived.
They were.
It's a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah. It is.
They were deceived to death for dollars. And we have a county attorney in Pima County that believes, nope, we don't need additional laws. She was the main reason that we couldn't get out of Judiciary Committee. I blame her, and I blame Alex Kolodin, who is a Republican legislator, who says it's unconstitutional to prosecute drug dealers for killing our kids.
Why would that be? Wait a minute.
Well,
Paulo, talk to me. Yeah, would that be unconstitutional?
Well, because there are multiple drugs. Most kids that are dying smoke pot. Right? They don't just randomly take a pill.
I voted no on that, by the way. I want everybody to know I voted no. I think it's stupid.
Voted no on that, too. Because pot's where it starts, right?
That's where it starts.
Where it starts. But so there's two legislators that I have contempt for. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. And if you can't, I'm going to tell you I have extreme anger and frustration and contempt. For two, I'm a Republican. I have no shame in that. I'm going to say it. Two Republican legislators that could have fought harder for these laws and didn't. They laid down and they came up with excuses. And then there's Laura Conover, because I believe that law would be on the books if those three people would have gotten on board and understood what it means to lose a child. Also understand what it means to stand. Like, I speak at meetings for substance abuse. And I speak at many different events, but in my county, there are substance abuse meetings, and I am a guest speaker, and I tell these kids, young kids, middle schoolers, I explain, you can't keep doing this. There are children youth, even adults, that are now using fentanyl as a drug of choice because they're hooked.
Wow.
And we can't stop the sales. Right? We can't legislate our way out of this. We can't prosecute our way out of this. Okay, there's going to be it's like an octopus, right? There's many tentacles in stopping the fentanyl crisis. However, we need legislation and we need prosecutors to be on the side of the victim, not the drug dealer. And Laura Conover, I hope you're listening because you are a disgrace.
Okay. What can we do on the other side of this, if we have prosecutors and judges who aren't going to follow through and convict people and hold them accountable for their actions, what can we do, Paulo, on the other side of this to stop the fentanyl situation?
Well, it goes on our side, on the criminal, on the law enforcement side, is for us to do put all the best evidence against that individual that's given that lethal dose, going forth, trying to work hand in hand with the prosecutor. Like I said, we try to go to the three, and meaning on the local, on the state, and the federal. A lot of times for us, because I'm on the federal side, I go directly over to the federal, and then I have far better success there than others. But it doesn't mean that I don't go to the others. I do. It just depends on what evidences I have. Now, on the other part is for us to work as putting our message out there together and working together to try to make it work. And we also have things, programs that we have actually put together, like, for instance, the Teen Academy that we're going to be doing on August the 19th up there in Phoenix. Although it is full, we are taking names, and those interested for the next one, it's to be determined. The purpose of the academy is to educate our youth on dangers we see every day with drugs and what we do, why we do it, and also to recruit future agents. But also we also have the Family Summit. And the Family Summit is being held on September 21st. And September 21st is up in Phoenix. And we can give you more information on our website, www.dea.gov.
And we'll put it on our website, too. And this is, to me, is the most important thing. Educate your kids. Educate the teachers. Parents need to be educated. And listen to law enforcement. They've got a lot of good information. If we just listen to what they have to say, we'd have safer communities all the way around. But, yeah, don't think, oh, my child's too young to be involved with this. They're not too young. Eight-year-olds.
And younger.
Yes. Getting involved with this. And not because they sought it out. It's something that happens.
Correct.
And you have to be careful, too, who your kids are associating with. Yes. Just because you talk to somebody for, 6 months, a year online, doesn't mean you know that person. So don't go meeting that person. And you were talking about pills being delivered to the house. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
Yes. So what I encourage is that every parent needs to be monitoring their child's social media, because a lot of the kids are getting the pills off of Snapchat. They're getting in touch with dealers who put emojis for each pill. You know, it could be a happy face for a fentanyl. It could be a sad face for...
Is there a dictionary or someplace somewhere where parents can look to see?
There is. There's an emoji. I have something, I think, at home, and I'm sure, I think I even got it from the DEA.
We have it on our website.
Yeah. So if your child is using emojis, check the translation.
That's correct.
Yes.
On the DEA website.
Yes. So a lot of kids are getting these drugs. They're buying them, and the person's delivering them to their home. They're going to the door, and parents think, oh, my child's safe because they're at home.
Right.
Well, they're getting the pill, going in their bedroom. Like Dr. Laura Berman's son, Sammy, had a pill delivered to his home, and they were getting ready to talk to him about what college he was going to go to. And so Sammy went into his room and took the pill. Parents went in. I believe the father went in and found him dead on the bed. And I've heard of this so many times where they are walking into the room, the parent, and finding another girl. She was slumped over dead on her computer. So this is not uncommon. So you think your child is safe in your home, but they're not. So monitor their social media. Make sure that you are questioning who's coming to their home. And also, I always stress, like you said earlier, be careful about pills, taking pills from anybody, because I've known of several people who thought that they were getting a Tylenol,
right,
and it was a fentanyl, and it killed them. And it takes literally, as Paolo said, a few granules to kill one person. So, no pills from anybody. And the toddlers that are dying are getting pills or the substance from their parents that are leaving it out. And a little boy, I think he was about 4, Cash is, I believe, his name. He's on billboards now. He just died, I think, in April. And they show pictures of him on the internet, on Facebook, of him in his coffin. Now, if that doesn't hit home, I don't know what does. So there's innocent victims, because there's a stigma, right, that it's just people who are addicted to drugs that are dying from fentanyl, or they're using fentanyl. No, I'm sorry, it's not. It's people that are using it for the first time, and they're... like A students, You know, they're athletic. So it's all walks of life that are dying. And rich and famous are dying, like Little Peep that died in Tucson was found dead on the bus. And the other, the country star, I can't remember his name, but they found him dead on the street here in Tucson. He had come into town and his friend couldn't find him. They found him in an alley, dead. And so it does not care who you are. It does not care your background, your ethnicity, your financial status. Fentanyl will kill you all the same. So what I can tell
that
parents
is
that, yes, exactly. Talk to your parent, your children. The parents need to talk to the children, monitor their social media, monitor who's coming to their homes, and question it. Don't just think, oh, somebody's coming to the home. Well, they're delivering death is what they're doing most of the time.
And you know what? For people to say, oh, my child's only using, you know, what is it, marijuana?
No.
Don't start.
No.
Don't even start.
Or they say, oh, not my child. Always have Narcan, naloxone,
yes,
in your home, because that will save a child's life. It'll save an adult's life. It'll save anyone's life. When I try to give Narcan out, people, oh, no, I don't need that. They don't understand that it's any opiate, whether it's a fentanyl, whether it's any other opiate, that can save your life. You might have to use 6 cans of it, but that can save your life. I carry one in my purse with me, and I hand it out all the time. And you can get it from a pharmacy now. You can get it from the
yeah, there's an open prescription,
Pima
I
County,
think. Doug Ducey did,
yes,
that.
Yes.
Pima County Health Department.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have the Good Samaritan Law that if you're using a drug with someone and they're passed out, you can report it and not be prosecuted. So a lot of people panic and they leave that person for dead. They just take off and they let them die. So, you know, people have to be educated. Like, I was never educated about any of this.
No,
I had an idea. Jacob was using a drug, right, cocaine, about a week or two before he died. I had a talk with him, but it wasn't about fentanyl. It was about hanging out with women who are trying to get him involved in these drugs. And that's my talk with him. And if I had known about fentanyl, I would have told him and he would have said, what? It could kill me?
Yeah.
I'm not using drugs anymore. That's just who he was. He rode in the El Tour de Tucson. He hiked. He played tennis. He bowled. This boy was into all kinds of things. Drugs were not his thing, but he ended up getting into them. So that's why I'm saying it could be anybody at any time because, you know, once you get hooked on something, addiction, you don't know if you're that kind of a, you know, have those genes where you're going to be addicted. So it can be any person at any time. And that's stress. Watch what your kids are doing at all times.
Yeah. And don't tell them not to succumb to peer pressure.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing.
That'll kill you.
Yeah. Peer pressure will kill you. So, Paulo, how do you tell people not to succumb to peer pressure?
Well, it's a talk you got to have. You got to talk to these individuals and find them an outlet. And at times, you know, you have individuals that sometimes what happens is they get, they're at a party or they're in a car or something along the lines where one of them has something and says, well, come on, look, if you find something else that you can do and just remove yourself from that situation, it's the best thing you can do. I remember a movie, I don't know if you remember it, The Bronx Tale. I highly recommend it. It's a really good movie with Robert De Niro. And it talks about, and I actually showed my son and my daughter that movie because it talks about all these different things where you have a mafia boss, but then you have Robert De Niro, he's a bus driver. And there's a kid in between. And this kid belongs to the bus driver, to Robert De Niro. And he sees this mafia boss, Sonny, they call him Sonny. And he wants to be like him. Everybody wants to be like him because he's like always dressed up and he has all this money and all this stuff. But the thing about this is that Robert De Niro is trying to teach him the hardworking way. Look, getting up every single day and putting money on the table, food on the table. And then Chaz, the Sonny, Chaz Pomerantini, is showing him on the other side, but is always looking after him. And after looking after him is constantly just being on him and finding that outlet. And even though he was a mafia boss, he was actually trying to show him the right way and being around him. So a lot of times it's just doing the right thing.
Didn't De Niro just lose his grandson?
Yes, he did. Yes. But
to fentanyl.
And it And the saddest thing about this is if people say, well, like I said it before, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, they're killing off their customers. They don't care. All they want to do is make money. Right now, a pill in here in Arizona is going for about 50 cents. 50 cents. As compared to a couple of years ago, it was going about maybe $20, $30. So if one thinks, oh, it costs a lot of money to buy these drugs, no, it's 50 cents. That's insane. And now you take it to the East Coast, it costs a lot more. But here, but over 108,000 deaths have occurred in this nation due to accidental overdose, accidental poisoning. You know, all these things do happen because at one time maybe, oh, here's a pill. And you didn't know what was contained in there. And you take it. And that's what happens.
Yeah, don't take pills from people you don't. Even people you do know, don't take pills. No.
And the thing is, Sherry, is that that's why
or
we
candy.
Also...
candy.
Exactly. We have a national take back where we actually do it twice a year. But it's available every single... At any single hospital or a police department, you can drop off your old prescription pills that are expired. And that will help you. So that way you don't allow that to become available in your own home.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do that periodically, and we always announce it when they have the, I think it's called Take Back.
National Take Back, correct.
And they dispose of them the way they're supposed to be disposed of. If you throw it down the toilet and flush it, it goes into the ground, and every year your plants are, you know, messed up. Okay, what's the name of the... what's the name of the movie again? I'm reading.
Oh, The Bronx Tale.
The Bronx Tale.
If you were watching,
I've never seen it.
No.
I have you ever watched Clear and Present Danger?
Yes.
There is a scene in there that's pretty decisive. I always thought, why don't they just do that and get rid of the cartel?
I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Like,
there's another YouTube that everybody should see. It's called Dead on Arrival.
Dead on Arrival.
Yes. DOA. And they show it. The DEA shows it. I'm actually holding my son's picture up at the end of it. So look for, well, you know, you don't
I'll
know who I am,
you.
But look for me.
I'll
but yeah, it's excellent. And it was made by Amy Neville. I'm not sure if you're aware of who she is, but she lost her son, Alex, 14 years old, to a fake pill. And there's also other parents that are in it, but it was based on her story. And it's everywhere now. I mean, it's just like, it's shown in schools, and it should be shown to every child because it's very impactful. I mean, it really is. So I suggest people to see Dead on Arrival.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And recommend it to your school. Maybe they'll show it in the school.
Definitely.
Periodically, we'll do presentations with a Q&A afterwards. Last week, we had one for sex trafficking and sextortion, which is also something that can happen. Your child doesn't even have to leave the house.
No.
And they can be sex trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people need to understand your kids are not safe. You let the internet in your house, the whole world is in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Drug dealers, perverts, you know, you name it, they're there, and your kids are communicating with them.
That's correct.
And, you know, tell me, what do you know about controls on the telephone and on the computer? Are they effective enough that people can just set it and walk away? Because I know people who do that.
No, you can't do that. You have to be constantly... I suggest, as a parent, and be on the law enforcement side, you put a fake profile, and that way you can find out your child's, who they're communicating, what they're doing. And that's the best way to do it. But being constantly, even though you put controls on the phone, there's still not enough. It's you got to go after that phone, because your phone is almost, it's just like a mini computer.
Yes.
And that's what these evildoers are doing. They're going after, they're attracting our youth. They're killing off our youth. Mm-hmm. And
they're hiring people they don't know. They're just throwing the net out there. Who's going to bite? I've got $200-$300 here. You drive from here to there, and we'll give you this money.
Yes.
They don't necessarily even tell them what they're driving.
That's correct. They don't. A lot of times, sometimes they don't even know what they're, oh, you know what, just go across with a car, no big deal. But there's other times they tell them and say, well, you're going to have to do this, you know, because they have to strap on their person
the pills.
Drugs. That's correct.
And just imagine, they're strapping that to their body and you're taking it.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross. That's the whole thing is gross. Give us a website so that people can go on there and learn.
Yes, so we have the DEA Arizona Community Outreach at DEA.gov. And, but you can also, anytime that you feel you want to learn more about DEA, and I'm trying to recruit some folks to become special agents, please come down to my office. We're at 6970 South Palo Verde Road, just down the block from you. And we will be more than happy to, we actually try to, we take people from all walks of life, from accountants to lawyers to warehouse managers, anybody that wants to go in this fight, we go on it. I just hit my 31st year in law enforcement. And for me, it's like still going out there and hitting it. I know 31 years.
31
right?
years? Wow. You're just like, whoa, wait a minute. Really?
Can you believe that?
Okay, we've only got a few seconds left. So I want to thank everybody here.
Yes.
Josephine, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Teresa, both of you.
Thank
I'm so
you
sorry
much,
for your loss.
Thank you.
And I want to work with both of you again. Paulo, as always, you're my favorite. Thank you, everybody. Shop local. Stay safe.
Law Matters is paid for by Law Matters Nonprofit Organization. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KBOI or its sponsors.
KBOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.